Hello and welcome to the Women of Power show. I'm Laura Topper. I'm here every week with a super guest, and this week, an amazing super guest, a writer in the Divine CEO magazine, a woman of power, definitely a leader of leaders, I would say an executive coach, Sonia Byrne. I'm just feeling really happy to be with you again, connected online, and grateful for you to be here and sharing your wisdom today on the Women of Power show. Welcome here.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. It's wonderful to be back.
It's good to be back. I love it. You've come once and you're here again sharing, and you're based in Mexico. And you're doing beautiful work. I love the work that you're doing. It's empowering and it's heart-driven. And every time I'm online with you, I feel your calm energy kind of there in wherever you are in Mexico. I feel that coming through the screen. So thank you for bringing that to me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's wonderful to hear that that's the energy that you're feeling. The world can feel like a strange place right now for people. So whenever we can tap into connecting with people where we feel that, I think that's important.
It's so important, isn't it, that we can actually live, like we were saying before we came on, that when we ask for what we want, when we get it, sometimes it can be a surprise that it actually comes a good way.
Absolutely. And the universe takes care of the how. So how it shows up, you know, sometimes we could be standing in the middle of a hurricane and say, I asked for this, right? You know, I am getting what I asked for, but it just showed up in a different wrapper, right?
Yes, how it falls apart in order for the new to emerge. And that can be a really uncomfortable, that place of falling apart can be extremely uncomfortable, can't it? So Sonia, I'm going to read a little bit up here for the viewers. Welcome to you as you're watching, as you're joining this show today here live, or if you're watching it on a replay. This is an eternal, endlessly eternal conversation, so I know it's relevant. If you're here, it's relevant. And Sonia Byrne bridges her corporate background with her ongoing study and practice of mindful leadership best practice for the workplace, which right now, from what I can feel, is coming through from you as the practice of gratitude. And Sonia regularly conducts professional strategy sessions with teams. She speaks at conferences and retreats. She has her own retreat center and offers workshops and groups and courses for people in Mexico. And she helps people to really explore their inner wisdom and to get to that place of calling forth the possibilities for change and to see a new perspective. And her life's work has been this for over 20 years, and you've worked with teams and with individuals in corporate, nonprofit, business, B2B, B2C, and globally. You are a globetrotter, not only online, but you actually have physically, traveled and worked in Asia and the Middle East and Europe. And wow, what a blessing that you, the work that you do. And it comes through definitely in the writing that you write in the magazine, Sonia, is so powerful. I love it. It's so leading edge and necessary. And I'm grateful to you for saying yes to the magazine. Thank you. And let's delve in. Let's talk about you and your work and gratitude, maybe, because that's something that you're really bringing forwards into for your life and teaching and helping others with. Why do you believe that, or do you, you must do if you're doing it, why is it that gratitude is so powerfully transformational?
Well, gratitude, there's a science behind it. There's an actual thing that happens in our bodies and our brains when we express gratitude, when we decide to step into gratitude, and it changes ourselves and it changes the energy between you and other people. And it can change a conversation. It can change a dynamic around a boardroom. It's such a powerful tool that I call it one of the tools in the leadership toolkit for a mindful leader, because it's something that you can be intentional about. And so I don't think people necessarily think about gratitude as something that they can call forward. Maybe it just happens to be part of their day. It's a response or a reaction to things, but it's actually something that can get cultivated in your life. And that makes it so powerful when you understand the science behind it too.
So what is happening in the brain?
So when we are, for instance, in a state of anxiety or anger or any of these states that has our nervous system in overdrive, the choice or the happenstance to go into gratitude actually shifts the focus in our brain. So from a neuroscience and a neuroplasticity perspective, we cannot focus, the brain itself cannot focus on both being angry and being grateful at the same time. It's sort of like a ping pong game. If you are angry and you want to step out of anger or anxious, or, you know, pick that emotion that has you feel way out of regulation in your nervous system, if you choose to go into gratitude, make a conscious choice to practice gratitude in one way or another, your brain will stop the focus in the area that's supporting the anxious moment or the angry moment, and it will send its focus and head on over to the intention and the activity around gratitude, the thoughts, the actions, the words that you're wanting your brain to participate in with your body to be in a space of gratitude. So it actually goes over there and it leaves, your focus leaves the anxious, angry experience. So when you realize how powerful gratitude is, I've actually had some people say, you know, I want to hold on to my anger a little longer. Like I'm grooving on that thing and I want to chew it till it has no flavor. Or I'm like, I feel powerful. I feel the adrenaline surge. I realize I feel the adrenaline surge, they say. When I know that there's an antidote to the angry moment and I don't choose it. So I know then I want to be over in the anger more because maybe I'm not definitely angry at this person because it feels very powerful. And if, you know, there's a whole chemical soup that happens in our body when we're in anger. You know, anxiety maybe isn't the same sort of attractive, powerful experience, but anger is where people tell me, I wasn't quite ready to let it go. So I didn't go over to gratitude. But what happens is that you head on over to the focus on gratitude, and all of the energy and the activity in that part of your brain that has been in anger or anxiety starts to sort of dissipate and dissolve, melts away, and you focus over on gratitude. You end up in an area of your brain called the parietal lobe, which takes in all kinds of sensory information to help you understand your spatial compartmentalization of your human body to in relation to the environment around you. So you will have the experience without even knowing it. Your brain is working for your Laura. So like, this is Laura and that's a chair. This is Laura and that's a table. This is Laura and that's a step. You don't want to bump into these things. And so you're being fed information into your brain to make decisions. And what it does also is not just physical separation, but the idea of feeling very separated from people, from the world. So when we are lonely, or when we are feeling disconnected, or we're not feeling the oneness of being part of the human race, being part of a group, being part of a family, activity in the parietal lobe is high. It's like a high wall. And when we send gratitude over there, there are certain kinds of meditation, affirmations, certain kinds of prayers. So when we head over and bring our focus with gratitude in our brain, we go to the parietal lobe and actually drops the high activity of the parietal lobe, kind of like a curtain dropping slowly.
Oh, yeah.
And we begin to feel not separate anymore, but we feel one. And that's the feeling that we're having.
It's so powerful. For me, the piece, when you said at the very beginning, it's just making the choice does it. It's like, okay, I can that one step of making the choice can shift something huge by it, because the choice is then my brain is, or I'm not focusing on the thing that is keeping me in that state of anger, fight, flight, fawn, freeze, all of it. And gratitude and the practices that we can do for gratitude, even meditation, can actually bring us to that place of non-judgment and not and releasing the idea of having to be in anger, because when we're in peace, we can't be in anger.
Exactly. We feel the shift mentally like a gentle rain shower sort of coming down. All of these defenses are dropping, the anxiety is dropping, the anger is dropping, because we are connecting. When we express gratitude to a person, to an experience, to the universe, to ourselves, it starts to just make that movement and that motion and that energy shift in our brain, and we can feel it. And so what's interesting is people who step into the practice of gratitude intentionally for the first time in their life begin to realize how perhaps addicted they were or attracted they were to the anger. Yeah. Because when the anger starts to dissipate, you know, with all that power and strength and the surge of the chemicals in our body, the big that soup that we're in from a hormonal and adrenaline view, it starts to dissipate and go away. And some people realize, wait a minute, I feel very powerful over there. I don't know if I want to do this gratitude thing, but gratitude is the path over there. And when the parietal lobe drops its intensity, then you feel like you are one with others. So people who practice meditation, affirmative prayer, gratitude, people who are in the practice of this on a regular basis, this is why, you know, the people who walk around are the hippie-ish people, you know, of another time, walking around saying, yeah, man, we're all one. It's like they have been working on their parietal lobe for a period of time, for years perhaps, and it's made them feel like there's no separation between me and you. We're all one, you know, peace, dude, but we're all one. Yeah. And so it's actually, they have changed their brain. They have rewired the connectivity of when something happens, they automatically go over there.
So I have a couple of questions for you. One of them is, like an observation from this. I really love it that you're explaining it and sharing it from a neuroscience perspective, because so often, it's great to hear it from another perspective, rather than quantum or metaphysical or mystical, from, oh, what's happening in my brain? The parietal lobe is being active or deactivated, and I'm relaxing into oneness, which from a metaphysical perspective is, you know, it's acceptance and oneness and love and not having any, and releasing feelings of anger and separation. So it's so great to hear it from a neuroscience perspective, because there are those that, you know, we each hear things differently, don't we? We each accept things differently. And it's important for us to get, it doesn't matter about the way we get there. It's getting there that's the powerful thing. Because we're in a world where it's so easy, it can be so easy to get flared up, get angry with situations, with our own lives, with things that are going on the planet, with life. Things seemingly not happening the way we want them to happen. How do we, as you know, as individuals right now, how can we use these practices, this practice of gratitude, to change the way we see and feel the world when it isn't going the way, you know?
Yeah.
Moving out a little further from the personal one-on-one interaction with people, what about, you know, the traumatic things that are happening?
Mm-hmm. So people sometimes decide to do a practice in the morning or the evening that's an intentional practice. So they make it like exercise or drinking coffee, sometimes even over coffee. Coffee and gratitude are a great combination in my perspective. And so they use the opportunity to invite gratitude into their life. And that centers them in their day. And it helps prepare them for stepping out into that world. And so when you are in a practice of gratitude, you can choose the level of your world that you want to step into gratitude with. So I have had people, you know, be very organized about it and do a gratitude about themselves. And so the next layer, a gratitude about their family, a gratitude about their friends and community, and gratitude further out into the world. So what are you grateful for? So you certainly can organize it like that so that you connect into any possible layer of the world around you, that you, when you get online or you step outside your house, that you could connect with, and you have preset yourself to see the good by doing that. Yeah. So there can be intentional practice like that. There's also the random opportunities. So I myself have been in very difficult scenarios or very difficult situations, or out in public where something, you know, very undesirable happens. And because I know how this works, I'll stop and I'll actually like scan my environment and say, okay, what am I grateful for here right now?
Right.
What can I find? Because I want to shift the science of my brain. Like, I want to shift how I'm feeling, because I don't like how I'm feeling. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, hiding out. It's not a fake positivity thing. It's kind of like, there are some choices here right now, and what is happening is real, and I really feel the way I feel about this, and I also can feel something else. So the right. fact that the idea that, you know, something really difficult is happening in the grocery store lineup, people are fighting, you know, or somebody says something negative to you, and that's real. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but in that moment, you can still go to appreciating, and it can balance and allow the positive and the negative to coexist, or the two experiences to coexist. So it's just like how there's anger and you can go over to gratitude. You can still have the situation that happened that brought you to anger about, you know, the grocery store or the world. And you can still have a moment of gratitude. It isn't that the negative thing is more real, but because our brain is wired to keep us safe, job number one, how does it do it? Job number two, it takes in information through our senses. And so anything that's negative is going to catch our brain's attention first, because that is what it is built for. It's a negativity, heat-seeking missile. You know, it's looking for the negative. But it's up to us in our evolution of consciousness, in our personal and professional development as human beings, to cultivate the tools in our life that can help us when we're dealing with situations in the workplace, in our family, in our relationship, in our relationship to the world, and to access that practice and bring it in at any moment. And I encourage people to try it. It's always interesting to hear the feedback when people try to do that for the first time. They're hearing something really horrible, or they're experiencing something really horrible, and they allow that to happen. They don't avoid it. And then they think, yes, okay, and what can I appreciate about this right now?
And it completely shifts the focus. And we're so powerful, aren't we? We're so powerful. And if only we really could fully accept that, that we are powerful beings right here and now, and that the power of choice is a powerful thing, and the power of knowing that we have a choice is a powerful thing. And then the power of the choices that we make for ourselves and for those around us, our loved ones and work colleagues, we can shift a whole scenario in a nanosecond. Completely. By the way.
Yeah.
And so now, at the moment, now you're working, I know you work, or you assist and you lead leaders, you guide leaders, you go into, or you're in organization, you get invited into organizations, and you work with leaders on a leadership level to assist people to change the dynamics of their teams and their businesses. How has gratitude really, can you see, has really up-leveled those organizations or with the work that you're doing?
Yes. Well, you mentioned fight or flight a little earlier. And when we are in those moments of anxiety or anger, and that can happen in the workplace for leaders for sure, because they are at the top, and it, you know, that old adage, it's lonely at the top, is real. When they experience and they see the things that have happened, and they have the disappointment, and they have all of the difficult and very confidential details of situations land at their feet, and there's really nowhere else to go sometimes. There isn't anybody else to speak with. When you're in anxiety or anger, because the brain is on hyperdrive trying to protect you, that's a very restrictive or like constricted experience. So right. What you have access to in terms of innovation strategy and dynamic thinking to get you or your organization or your team out of that is pretty restricted if you stay in that anger or anxious space. But if you invite something in that's very creative, like gratitude, it expands and opens that channel, that highway that you have, that freeway of thinking and of creativity. And so then you're able to actually think differently. So a conversation might happen between myself and a leader where they have been very disappointed by something that happened in their board. I had a conversation. It's only Tuesday, and I had a conversation already this week with a leader that had that experience. And so, you know, they're very disappointed and upset by what has come to them. And so their possible solutions come from a very restricted place, maybe even a defensive place too. Right? So in our conversation, we talked about, you know, appreciating what these people bring to the workplace, appreciating what these people bring to the situation, and in trying to understand where they might be coming from and why the scenario that has shown up for this leader is right there at their feet. Looking at what they appreciate that the board might be trying to do, what they appreciate that the individuals on the board want to have happen, and recognizing that while it comes from a good space, if the board is upset and concerned, and then they're in a very limited thinking space too, and if the leader goes to them and they're in a very limited thinking space as well, then there isn't a lot of expansion on either side. But if the leader can open up the conversation and come from curiosity, it actually means that sometimes they're not answering the questions that are being asked because the questions that are being asked are not what the other person really wants. There's so much going on that's not being said. You know, it's getting to the reasons behind the questions, the motivations, the fears, the concerns behind the question that's there. So even coming from a space of gratitude for them, I appreciate the work that you have done on the board. I appreciate all that you're considering. And so it sounds like you have a concern about something by the nature of the questions that are coming towards me. So talk to me about that. And then you get into a much more expansive conversation. Yeah, the person feels appreciated. They feel safe to talk about the wider view and what was behind that very intense question maybe that came to the leader.
That's so poignant, because even as you're saying this, it's kind of, I'm feeling, okay, we may not all have boards or we may not all have, you know, leadership kind of boardrooms with people. And yet we're all, or most of us are interacting. Most of us who have our own businesses are interacting with others, you know, on a daily basis, whether it's someone who's part of work that we're doing, we're collaborating with, or that we've hired. And we can really take this into our world and into our lives to practice gratitude from the place where I am behind a screen here, wherever anyone else is around the world that I'm talking with, to have that approach can change something so drastically. So and I suppose my question for you now is, you know, where do you see it in our daily lives? Forget about the boardroom, and how can we instantly drop into knowing ourselves as the leader of our lives, and then knowing that gratitude can actually really change our lives? It's like, change your gratitude, change your life. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyone who has a family that depends on them has a board. They're the board of your life.
Yes.
And you can apply that to your client base, or you know, just pick a card, right? It applies all the way around, really. So when women are working in environments, whether it's in their home or as a solopreneur or a consortium of other contractors or a store that they have, you know, whatever it may be, there's always the interactions that come towards you, and And it's a real call for our amygdala to jump forward and for us to feel offended. And so getting to a place where that's a conscious decision, okay, I'm going, and it happens, like you said, in a nanosecond, right? You can get into a place where as a leader, entrepreneur, business owner, you can think, okay, I am going to go for it. Like, I am going to come back at the same energy that this person just brought to me because I think there's merit in doing that. Or I'm going to dispel and dissipate this with a compliment. Thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. It's a very disarming
response. Yes.
It's so simple, yes. But it's a very disarming response. Talk to me more about what you experienced. And then you're actually flipping the focus to the person who has come to you with the difficult thing that has been said, right, and allowing them the floor to expand. And it buys you some time as the person who's been surprised by the comment or the question to really, you know, hear and see and feel into the energy of what is happening for this individual. So when you do respond, you have more information. You know, what happens is we go into auto response, and I've worked with clients for more than 15 years now is in a coaching capacity, one-on-one. And I remember just, you know, playing with this energy or in my early days of coaching and having people come to me with the same situation. I'm really upset with my boss. And just pick a different person for the boss if you need a different person. But I'm really upset with so-and-so. But in this case, it was a lot of workplace coaching. So I'm really upset with my boss. And so I said, okay, let's do a scale. Imagine like a horizontal scale of 1 to 10. So you just told me the scenario. In a scale of anger, where were you? Oh, I was probably at like an 8, 8.5. And then the question that I would ask is, so when you wake up to the angry moment and you're at 8, 8.5. Oh yes, I'm there all the time. I'm like, ooh, that's where I notice. So they notice or woke up to their experience at 8, 8.5 out of 10 on their personal anger scale. So I will ask them, so do you see like 2 and 5 or 7, or do you just blow past them and wake up at 8? I wake up at 8. So the work that we would do was to get them access to 1 to 8 and allow them to intentionally, consciously dial where they were going to go. So they stepped into the very predictable argument, conversation with that difficult person in their life, and they made a decision. Okay, I am not going past 3 today.
So they wake up in the morning at 8.
No, they wake up
in the moment
at 8 out of 10. Yeah. they don't even sleep very well. 8 would be great.
No, that needs to happen the night before.
they become conscious of the situation at 8 out of 10. And they didn't realize that they have access to other choices before 8 out of 10. So we would do the work of first observing. So they would go back into their workplace, through their conversation, to the relationship after coaching, the initial coaching session, and they would go back in and they would begin to observe. They would just wake up at 8 out of 10, become aware at 8 out of 10 in an angry moment again with the same person that they have the same kind of argument, just change the topic every week.
Yes. And
so they would notice, I work here, I'm again here, and so then they get observation, and observation or awareness, you can make decisions from awareness, right? It's hard to do things when you're not aware, but awareness is the first step. So they become aware. So then they would dial it back and they would say, okay, what if I only went to 6 on this one? What if I only, and then they get to a place of intentional response. So a situation that was either like, you know, very familiar and predictable, a repeat situation or a brand new situation, that person in the grocery store line would happen. And they would think, okay, I'm going to go for this. I'm actually going to get in dialogue with them at their level of energy. So I'm going to come back, but I have access to gratitude at any moment, or I can choose, I'm just not going to step into this in the first place. So I don't step into the anger. And so when you are operating from choice, in that dial, in that 1 to 10 scale, then you have a consciousness that you've developed in your own personal journey that allows you to feel more empowered in your life. And it, you know, it makes you a better person. It makes you a more aware person. You can role model for other people. It's a very simple tool.
Yes.
Yeah. And gratitude can help you dial that back. You can choose not to step into the dial at all.
And it's not to say that things don't happen. It's the how we respond.
Yeah. How we react. It's all real. But again, because the brain is built to seek out negativity and situations that can harm us, those situations somehow feel more real.
Yes.
And the gratitude feels like this like silly little Pollyanna thing. And it's not. When you understand the neuroscience of it, it is a masterfully simple tool that we all have access to. And it changes the energy completely.
Yes. And how can it be Pollyanna? I mean, for me, because it allows me to have a conscious communication with myself and with the other, mm-hmm. and to practice knowing, well, where am I in this? Am I really grateful for my life? Am I grateful for the things around me? Yeah. Or am I looking at life from a glass half, cup half mm-hmm. empty? Mm-hmm. Because I know that what I see is going to what I, how I perceive it, I'm going to get more of that. And I don't want more anger. I don't want more feelings of upset and anxiety. So it's a practice for me to step mm-hmm. to stay in gratitude.
Yes. I think it's dangerous for us too to label things as like, this is a good emotion and this is a bad emotion, this is a positive and this is a negative emotion. There's no problem with any of the emotions. We're humans. We've been given the opportunity and the options and the experiences in our life to have a wide range of emotions. But feeling out of control and not even collaborating or participating with your own emotional experience is a very disempowering way to live. When you get that by generating awareness through observation and then making decisions about how you intentionally want to be, then you are more empowered, and you change the way that conversations happen. You change the way that you're presenting yourself. You change the way that things occur in relation to your responses for situations that happen in your life. So that person with the board, for instance, that I was talking about, they may still decide that they do not like what happened with the board, that the board has been inappropriate. They may decide that they want to be, and they're going to be angry and not grateful, but they're going to be angry. And then if they make the conscious decision that, okay, this, the only way that that I'm going to be heard, or the way that the board is going to hear what is going to happen, is I need to match their energy and go back to them with the same level of intensity and just kind of say, okay, this stops here. This is not going any further. And then you can still open a dialogue that gets you to appreciation. But it doesn't mean that you show up weak. It doesn't mean that you accept bad behavior.
You know, squash
choices.
Yes. So I'm going to put this up here on the screen, because I know that you have a gratitude. I don't want to call it a challenge, actually. I want to call it a practice.
Experience. It's a
21-day experience that that people can sign up for. Mm-hmm. I've signed up for it. It's really beautiful, and it's very insightful and powerful. And you can register at any time. It's on Sonia's website, which is SoniaBurn.com. I am grateful. Unleash the powerful practice of gratitude into your life. It's a tool for conscious communication, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're a different person if you start your day with gratitude. And so the idea behind the 21-day Days of Gratitude experience, the 21-day experience allows you to, you receive something in your inbox every morning, and it allows you to step into your day from a place of contemplation. There's always a beautiful quote. There's a little bit of dialogue. There is an affirmation, often journaling prompts if you're a journaler, or a question for contemplation if you just want to take a question into your day. So it's a very centering experience. And, you know, it came from a project that I did in 2008. It began, and it was back then, so more than 15 years ago, it was the 100 days of gratitude.
Mm.
And the world right now can handle 21 days. So yeah, the 100 days of gratitude is a deepening experience. It still exists.
You but, still have it.
Yes, but 21 days is a great entry point. And then if you want to deepen it, the 21 days of gratitude, you know, includes the opportunity to journal, meditation, experiences and contemplation, and some activities. And so that combination of three things actually comes from three books that are in the kit for the 100 Days of Gratitude. So in 2008, I began the project where I created a gratitude journal, 100 Days of Joyful Living with its three daily practices for joyful living, and then created a companion meditations book, Meditations on Gratitude. And then I created an activity book to go with it. And so you can have a very deep experience and travel through 100 days using these three books. You can just use one of them and shelve the others and pull out meditations when you want, pull out an activity when you want, journal every day. You know, it changes your life. And 15 years ago, people could tolerate the concept of 100 days was a very realistic thing. With the world changing the way that it has, people want things sort of faster, shorter. They want more bite size. So I created the 21-day experience, and people enter into that, but then they're primed for the deepening of the 100 days.
Yes, I'm interested in the 100 days. Not that I've done the full 21 days, but that the 100 days for me would feel like, now that's something that I would, it's like, that's a, feels like it would really anchor gratitude into my life. Yes. In a really powerful way. 100 days, there'd be no turning back.
Yes, it's a deep commitment. And then it becomes part of your fibers, really. So you have the practice, you can go there, you can do it in the morning, you can do it at night. There's structures in the workbook, there's structures in the journal. And so I've actually pulled those books from publishing last year in order to rebrand and republish them. And so They will be out in beginning mid-April. So if people sign up for the newsletter on my website, they will hear first that these are available in the new look. So we've redesigned the pages, so it's just a beautiful experience to do. Actually, you'll enjoy doing it more than, you know, a plainer page, which was also more the norm 15 years ago. Yeah,
that's amazing. So you're going to you're rebranding the 100 day practice.
Yes. So the 21 days is available. If people register, they'll start the next day.
Is it free to register?
It's $29 for the 21-day gratitude experience.
Okay.
And so very, very reasonable. People step into it. It's self-paced, and they just begin to receive their information every morning in a beautifully designed email with great graphics and prompts. So we've just finished one group that went in together in the initial pilot of it. And so we're starting to get the feedback, and it's just beautiful. People don't realize how it's going to change their lives, how much of a practice it is. When I began working with gratitude as a tool in 2008, there was conversation around sleep. So we were going through in North America, 2007, 8, 9, very difficult financial situation, very challenging for people. And some people weren't sleeping. And I was getting a lot of questions in my mindful coaching practice. So how can I sleep? You know, I would be out at my networking events. People would approach me privately. I'm not sleeping. So I did this program called Gratitude and a Good Night's Sleep. And they actually used the 100 days as a tool. And one of the things that I suggested to people is that as they are lying in bed at night, that they consider trying to get to 100 things that they're grateful for. And so they need to remember the very first moment of that day and play out that day being grateful for every micro moment. So it would look like this. So someone is in bed at night and they're thinking, okay, so they're not sleeping. I remember when I woke up this morning. I'm so grateful that I woke up this morning. I am so grateful that I woke up this morning in a bed. I'm thankful for my bed. I'm thankful for the sheets on my bed that I chose last year at a particular store. I'm grateful that I had the money to buy those sheets to give me that wonderful experience this morning. As my feet hit the floor, I'm grateful that I have a floor. I'm grateful that I have a home. You know, and as I walk to the bathroom to brush my teeth, I'm grateful for the ability to walk.
Yes.
I'm grateful that I have two legs, I'm functioning, I'm walking. I'm grateful that I have a bathroom that I'm walking to, because a portion of the world doesn't have a bathroom. So I get to go to the bathroom in the morning. And my bathroom is beautifully designed. And I grab my toothbrush. I'm so grateful that I have a toothbrush. I'm grateful that I have teeth to be brushing with my toothbrush. So you can see how they would go like way, way down a beautiful gratitude rabbit hole.
And powerful.
And they would tell me, oh my gosh, I'm asleep. I didn't get to brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. I have a whole day to account for if I go back to the moment when I start being grateful for everything in my day.
And the thing is, it's to get into the frequency, isn't it? To be in the frequency, irrelevant of how many things.
Yes.
It's being in that frequency and remaining there. Yeah. I do it in the supermarket. My mind just goes, like you said, the rabbit hole of picking up an orange and, okay, here's the orange and the people that have bought it into the store and, you know, the container that's here and the truck driver person that bought it here and the farmer and the people that's, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. Our food, when we're saying gratitude for food at the table, it's like, what about the backstory of how it actually got to the table and how the table got here?
Exactly. In the home with the people.
Yes. It's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So that focus is.
I love what you're doing, because you're bringing spirituality into leadership in a way that is really, it can be heard. It can be heard. It can resonate, and it can be accepted by people some people that may or may not have a spiritual practice, and that's okay. Gratitude is a powerful consciousness practice for our lives. And the other piece that I want to just kind of get into here is that you're also a secret, well, not so secret, but you're very creative, and you run creativity workshops, and you run writing workshops and vision casting workshops. And what is it? I mean, was that always a part of your, you know, what you do and what you provide for people, or has moving to Mexico opened that up for you?
It has been a part of my life, my entire life. Actually, I can remember being a young girl and having groups get together, or having my friends get together. And I think they just called it bossy back then, but I was kind of like, okay, so what we're going to do today is we're all going to try to color this thing, but it's all going to look different because we all have a different view of the thing. So don't show anybody your picture, but draw this. And then we would all show our pictures, and it's like, how's it so different when we said the same thing? You know, no, I've been doing it my whole life, and they just have nice, kinder words for it, like leadership and things like that. Entrepreneurship.
Right. Right. The labels we put on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is very accessible, but also I'm very fortunate to be alive at a time in the world where the world is ready for this, and organizations, even the most corporate organizations, are ready for this. So, you know, 15, 20 and more years ago, when I was in more corporate organizations, I was strange, you know, and I may have even told you that every once in a while, people would say, how do you get away with this? How do you get away with being so strange and asking us these weird, very personal questions in meetings? And we all follow you, like, why are we doing this? How is this happening? We actually answer them. And I remember saying, like, you have to be good at what you do, and you have to be confident, like, you have to be really rooted. You have to be good at what you do to be this weird, you know, to be this strange and to be accepted. And now it's not so strange, because mindfulness, conscious leadership, these are words that, leaders are trying to find all of the ways and all the tools that they can to keep themselves sane, to keep themselves afloat, to feel some sense of something called work-life balance, to have a place for their head to go when it's lonely at the top. And these are super powerful tools. And so there's openness right now in the world that perhaps there was not before.
Yes. And so you create workshops also for writers and writing retreats for people to come and to really get their book out of them or to get the writing out of them. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm big on that. The part that I like to do, so I bring in other people that can help with other pieces of the process, but the part that I like to do is to get people to their table of contents. So get their structure that's been roaming around in their minds or in their journals or in their conversations for years. So get them to their table of contents, get their ideas fleshed out, so really get a plan. And then things can flow from there. And it's a very satisfying experience for them. And for me to know that we've gotten this idea out of their mind, out of their head, out of their brain, out of their body. And when it's out, it creates more space for the next pieces to come in. But until you articulate that, until you get that out, then it's floating around. And sometimes for years or decades, people will say, this has been in me. This book has been in me. And now it's outside me. And so I know you walk people through the publishing journey as well. We have great people around us who have access to conversations that they're more expert at, like designing a cover or working with an illustrator. But I love to use something like journaling, and gratitude's part of that, for helping people get out of writer's block so they can get to that table of contents, so they can get to that structure. It's very powerful.
And it can be overpoweringly fearful to put pen to paper and to start the process. Why do you think that is, Sonia, that for so many of us, it's not only about the content, but it's about allowing ourselves to give ourselves permission to create?
Ah, yes. It is the fear of failure. And as long as we're in fear, then we're locked into our amygdala in our brains, and it doesn't want to let us out until we feel safe. So something as simple and accessible as gratitude journaling can calm that amygdala down, calm down our minds, our brains, our bodies, to get to a place where it feels like we can get everything out. And, in the creative process, it's important to just get everything out without editing, without judgment, and then go back and extract the things that are actually really juicy and belong in the core of what it is you're going to put out into the world. And the things that are left on the table can still be set aside and used for future projects. Nothing leaves the table. But it's the fear of getting it all out. But when you start the process, then you can step into it. And people are met with space really quickly. Space, because it's kind of like we've let that up and out, and so it creates a vertical space in our mind, in our brains, in our creativity, and so they're rewarded by space, and so new things come flooding in, and that's a really good feeling because it's a generative feeling instead of a stuck feeling like the amygdala hijacking that we get in when we're just in fear and we're locked in there. So you have the experience that's possible for people that they can get more creativity, and people love that. Creative people love more creativity. So it's rewarded quite quickly, actually.
Do you think there's a fear of, like, that piece of, as you said, getting it out into the world? If we removed that completely and did the creativity, took part in our own creative process because, without even having to have the feeling of it's got to go out into the world, that then we'd feel freer, that more of us would feel more untapped to simply create without there having to be a reason for it.
Creativity for the sake of creativity. We're creative beings as human beings, but we're also proud and fearful. And I think those are two ends of the same spectrum, in that when we get it out, then we're fearful of the judgment.
Yes.
But while we hold it in, it is great conversation over coffee and at cocktail parties. We sound very smart because we have a book in us. We've got ideas. And one day I'm going to write this book and it's going to be about this. And it's kind of like I describe it as the ring around Saturn. it doesn't touch us, or Las Vegas marquee lights. I've used that example. Where they're bright and shiny and they're way up high and they're not down at the street level with us. We can look at them. They're perfect and they're glittery. And we think, oh, wow, that's my idea. And it stays up there. But when you get on a ladder and bring that light fixture down and want to shine it out into the world, and you see that, oh, actually, there's a bulb that's missing. And one is not the same color as everything else. And you start to work on the polishing of your idea because now it's right in front of you.
Yes.
You realize the imperfections that don't have to be there when you're just at cocktail parties or over coffee talking about this great idea. Because it doesn't touch you. It doesn't ask anything of you. It is not real. And the moment it becomes real, it's scary.
Yes.
So people die with that book in them. We know that they do because they never made it to paper. Not even to get it out on paper and not publish it, but creativity for the sake of creativity, like you say. Yeah.
And that's a part of who we are, isn't it? To be fully creative, to give our gifts to the world and to shine our light and to help people, teach people with what it is that we have to share, whatever that is, whether it's a book on gardening, cooking, or spiritual ascension. You know, it's like if it's in us, then it's here to be shared. And writing is such a powerful process, isn't it? To take it from the journal to a book. It's like, wow, it's a beautiful process.
Yes. And as humans, we recognize that we have a biology and a neurobiology that makes us fearful of new things, that makes us fearful of things that might hurt us. And even though, you know, ridicule is not a physical thing, the fear of ridicule is very real to our brain.
Yes.
Because we're unsafe. So we need tools that will allow us to get over to the parietal lobe, to get over to creativity, to get over to dropping down and feeling like, drop that curtain and feel like, oh, okay, they're not against me. We're all one. And gratitude is one of those tools. So it will remain in my writer's workshops. It will remain in my journaling workshop. It'll remain in part of my own writing for the rest of my life, I think, because the hitting into that concept and seeing the power of it play out again and again and again with my coaching clients, with leaders, with the public, and in my own life just means that it will stay and it'll continue to be investigated, I think, as part of my life's work.
And that must be so interesting for you to see people that are doing what you're teaching and what you're suggesting and to see a change in them. And a change in the way that they're approaching their own lives and creativity also.
Oh, absolutely. It gives them back energy. It gives them back centeredness. It gives them back creativity, which is what they're always looking for too. Yes.
Wow. So we're all going to come to Mexico, Sonia. We're going to come and I'm going to put this on your, because you do have an art of journaling workshop.
Yes.
We're just going to appear at your door.
Today is actually the last of the three part series. And I do this as a promotion and support for a local dog rescue, actually, giving back to the community. And I keep it accessible. So that is a three-part series that I've also done online, but it's so much fun to do it in person. And it's filled with people who are artists or writers, people that just like to journal before they go to bed. I have a person in that series who's working on a one-woman show, and they're using the creativity that comes out of the exercises that we do to really spark the things that are happening. We have some people who have found themselves in really deep places of fear with what's happening in the world or their world for them, and they're using this three-part series to really journal through what that's about for them. So all walks of life, people come. If people want to know, they need to get on the newsletter, and then that way they'll know about the invitations to come and be here too for some of the longer term events that are going on.
Okay, so it sounds like your newsletter is your hub. It's the place to be to find out all of, because it's not always immediately on the website. So the newsletter lets people know. SoniaBurn.com, you can sign up there to find out more about her offerings and the amazing offerings. It's beautiful what you're doing and how you're bringing spirituality into the world in this way and very creatively. And I love it that you are, you know, and even the term executive leadership coach has a kind of formality about it. And yet it isn't, because what you're doing is you're bringing so much creativity in and opening people's hearts to realizing who they are through the practices that you're offering, through gratitude and journaling. And I think it's really powerful, powerful what you're doing, because you're really bringing bringing people to an awareness of their own spiritual self through creativity. Yeah. Thank you, Sonia, for being here and for sharing and for writing in the magazine. I think I've got it on here. Hold on. Have I got the video on here? Oh, I'm going to play the video. Here we go. For anybody that would like to sign up for the magazine this month, Sonia Byrne is.
Do you know how beautiful you are? Can you feel the power that you hold? Do you see the light within your heart? Always there for you to have and hold. Have you found?
And you can sign up for your copy of Divine CEO. Read Sonia's amazing articles, inspirational articles, and see her there on the cover. I love that image of you, by the way.
Thank you.
So cool. And I'd really appreciate you being here. And a final word for viewers, something to inspire them to tap into gratitude, their own sense of creativity and who they are. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to share that, you onto the.
I invite you to try a very simple practice. When you find yourself in a moment of unsteadiness in the day, when you find yourself in a moment of any level of upset, just stop, pause, breathe, and look around and look for, what can I be grateful for in this moment? It may be seeing a bee. It may be the taste of your coffee. It may be that this person who's driving you crazy in front of you isn't always driving you crazy. And last week or last year, they did something beautiful for you and that you're grateful for. And you will see and feel and experience the transformative power of gratitude happening in your life. So I invite you to do that in just very simple moments and see what happens.
That definitely sent me into places and spaces. Thank you, Sonia.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure.
I'm grateful for you for being here, and for the viewers, if you're watching still here now, thank you for being here. And you can connect with Sonia through her website, sign up to the newsletter, sign on to the gratitude course, and you'll be amazed at what she's doing in the magazine. Also, sign up for that. Here's the link, Divine CEO. And thank you again. See you next week. Bye for now.